2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, if your gospel be hid. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Is it not very easy to see those to whom our gospel's hid? Boy, it is to me. I mean, it's almost an instantaneous thing. It doesn't take much longer than a minute or so to be around a human, another individual, and know if the gospel is hid from them. You ever think about that, you see? The vast majority with little or no care for the gospel at all. They have little or no care. And you just know immediately that the gospel's hid to these people. There's a darkness over their eyes, a veil. And you can see that thing. You might condense it down to no light. They have no light. They're in darkness. And in that darkness, they'll remain. There's only one way they can come from that darkness. That's if God opens their eyes. If God opens their eyes. I can't open their eyes. I can shine the light, but I cannot open their eyes. Salvation is of the Lord. Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which leads to the premise, where is the kingdom of God? Do you know where the kingdom of God is? Anyone know where the kingdom of God is? Come on. Here? Yeah.
Kingdom of God in the heart.
It's within you. You better look at it. Luke 17:21. I read a whole book once on the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So, there you have it. There's your light. That's your light, the kingdom of God within you. Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We read these things, we recite these things, but what about the practical application of them? The actual existence, the experimental existence of these things. Is it so very hard to discover in whom God lives? He didn't live in Mother Teresa. He did live in John Bunyan. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I just explained it. I just know. If you have the kingdom of God within you, do you ever just know anything? I mean, there are things, you've heard me say, there are things I think, things I believe, and then there are things that I know. Verse 6 of our text there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We just know. We recently watched a documentary on the Amish people. It was very interesting because we've had a lot of experience with Amish people. And it was very, very insightful. And in principle, it was very good. It was very interesting to note that, like every other denomination on earth, they have schisms. Just like the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Methodists and the Presbyterians. They don't all wear the same type hats. They don't all wear the same type shirts. Even the suspenders are different. To the wheels on their buggies, the wheels on their buggies are different in different Amish churches. Doctrines of men on how to live holy. I'm just reading this morning, I read Melissa the verse. I said, I want you to, people forget, you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, and it said that Christ, that he took the enemy to the cross. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that? He took the enemy to the cross. Do you know what that enemy was? The law of commandments. The law of ordinances. The kingdom of God within you. And one must teach you how to live holy. You know, the Greek that I like, Eric Metaxas, he but had a dream and he met the Lord. He met the Lord in a dream. And he said when he woke up from that dream, he knew that he could no longer sleep with his girlfriend. No one had to tell him that, you see. Now, I'm sure that before he had the dream, that he knew it was wrong. That's the knowledge of good and evil. But he did it anyway. I can speak for you that. But I knew a lot of things were wrong, but I did them anyway. But after conversion, after one dream, one night, he knew he couldn't. He could not. Get that. He couldn't. Because that's key. There's a vast gulf between those two positions. Between knowing right and wrong and I can't. And that's the hidden gospel. To the lost, that hidden gospel is a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. Peter says they stumble at the word. How many I've known that stumble at the word of God? Always full of foolish questions. I'll leave it there. How many of those have come before us in this work? Those that have stumbled no longer. Oops, they stumbled. Oops, oops. Another one stumbled. Oh, there's another one down. There's another one down. We're so-and-so. There's another one gone. There's another one gone. You see, eventually, the way gets too narrow. And those type of folk, they were throughout Scripture. And they've been throughout our walk. The gospel hid to them. It never took. They have to stumble like those in darkness. They're in darkness. They're like the blind. You remember the parable of the sower and the various versions of things that happened to them. And some fell or turned back early and some carried on for some time. But all but one, they all turned back. And you can make no mistake, those were never ever born again. They never saw nor knew the kingdom of God. Like King Saul, you remember King Saul in the Old Testament, his spirit fell on him. He saw among the prophets, but it was only for a time. But eyes never fully opened. The gospel remained hidden. For most, I've preached this for years, it's caused more division than anything I've ever preached, I guess. It was family. And it still is. Who are our enemies? Jesus said, who's your enemy going to be? Oh, no, they're not. Yeah, they are. Family. And few fail to recognize this. Very few. I've had them say, oh, she'll leave me. Yeah, she probably will. Yeah. Or he'll leave me. You know, I thought about this. I heard someone speaking of this recently. I liken it to having to put an animal down. I don't know if anybody here has ever had to do that. Have you put an animal down? I'm not talking about hunting. I'm talking about a pet. Okay, all right. There are some that can do that, and there are some that cannot. And it's painful. There's no joy. But it's often a necessity. It has to be done. And this was actually spoken of in the Amish documentary. Children need to see animals die. I couldn't agree more, you see. They need to learn early the lessons of life and death. And most have no concept of death and hell. I've got young men that I work with, they don't have this concept. They've never seen death. But I can tell you this, you get it as a kid. I did. And you'll never forget it. I yet remember as a young boy, I don't know if they were married. And my dad took me over to a burned down house in Corpus Christi, Texas. I guess he was my uncle. I was a young boy, one of my aunt's husbands, she had many, had perished in the fire. I had to be his age. I still remember that smell. 70 years later, I still remember that death smell. It was still smoldering. Lesson learned. The most certain thing on earth, death. And we don't explain it to our children. And yet they could die, they could perish tomorrow, or one of us, if our gospel be hid. Now let me say, it better not be hid because you didn't tell them. And that's not only children. It better not be hid because you didn't tell them. It's family. It's acquaintance. Better not be hid because you didn't tell them. We're all called to warn the wicked as well as the righteous. Every one of us. If Christ be in you. If the kingdom of heaven be in you. Paul declares we walk by faith, not by sight. And chapter 5, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, he states that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What an interesting statement. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. And that life is the life we are to seek. No more mortality. We, it said, are mere mortals. And a very good lesson to all. We are mortal. But it seems that society, it seems that man lives as if he's immortal. Now, you do get immortal life if you're in Christ. But how few are that? But we are bodily mortal. This body's going to die. It's going to die. Our life, we said, it's but a vapor. I'm the oldest among you. It's a vapor. But who lives or believes like that? You see it every day, almost every day, in your work. Who do you know that is seeking immortality? Only those in the glorious light of the gospel whose eyes have been opened, who groan to be delivered from this body of death. Are we not called to be a light on a hill? How can that occur if our gospel be hid? So I'd say in closing, is your water flowing or is it stagnant? Is your light shining or is it hid? If our gospel be hid. You say, well, they won't. Who gets it? It's not my business. That may sound cold, but it's the truth. Who gets it or doesn't get it? That's God's business. He told me to shine the light. Son, I've got a job for you. What would you like me to do, Lord? Father, I want you to stand on this wall, and I want you to hold this light. That's it. Okay. Well, I don't much see. You don't have to see. I'll take care of it. You stand on this wall, and you hold this light.